Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Are you one of the millions of people that count calories only to discover you initially lost weight, but it came right back and then some? Kim and I chew on the latest research published by the American Medical Association showing calorie counting isn't the answer to weight loss. Also, could avoiding nonstick cookware be a key to losing weight? According to research just published by Harvard School of Medicine, what you cook your food on could be making you fat. Plus, we'll chime in on the latest headlines about e-cigarettes. Research from Johns Hopkins School of Public Health found they contain dangerous levels of heavy metals, which have been linked to lung, liver, immune, cardiovascular, brain damage, and even cancer. Don't go anywhere. Chew on This starts now.
It's time for Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Barnewen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Our first headline comes from ABC News. The Journal of the American Medical Association just published findings last week showing that calorie counting isn't the key to weight loss. The quality of food is far more important. Researchers found dieting individuals who reduced their consumption of added sugars, processed foods, and refined grains, and increased their vegetables and whole foods lost more weight over the course of a year than those counting calories or limiting their portion sizes. You know, I loved reading the study because I've not been a fan of calorie counting ever. I believe if you eat the right wholesome foods, you shouldn't need a calculator to figure out what to eat. Kim, what's your opinion on this calorie counting that seems to always make the news?
Oh, my goodness. This is like, it's almost like, really, it's 2018 and they're just figuring this out? I so agree with you. You know, it's one of those things where, of course, you should eat a well-balanced diet. You should stick to whole grains and vegetables. But, you know, people that are going to count calories and restrict themselves, it's so much harder. You know, I've spoken to so many people who say that it's just a certain period of time. If they can get through that counting calorie period, when it's done, they end up gaining the weight back. So it's almost like, really, you just put yourself through that for nothing.
Yeah, and they gain it back, which is the nickname that they give these calorie counting diets, called yo-yo diets, because they put your body into a starvation mode, which leads to getting back your original weight, sometimes even more. And by definition, let me show what a calorie is. A calorie is the amount of heat required to raise the temperature of 1 kilogram of water through 1 degree Celsius. That's the definition. A calorie is heat. Now, if heat caused weight gain, everyone living in the Southern Hemisphere would be obese, but actually, they're leaner. So if people don't, if you ask somebody what a calorie is, they don't even know. They just say, oh, it must be something heavy in my food. No, it's heat.
Right. You know what? And it's so true. It's like, but I think that people don't realize that it's just, the diet is so simple if you just break it down to eating the right foods, you know, moderation like we talk about. But counting calories is so restrictive, and it's confusing, and you have to, like, be a scientist practically to figure out, you know, am I allowed to eat this? Like, you know, and they want calories on the menus, and it's really a huge process when you just have to eat a well-balanced meal.
Right. And Kim, have you ever heard of somebody gaining too much weight by eating an abundance of calories found in broccoli?
Never.
It does not happen. It's got natural fiber, phytonutrients. You're not going to gain weight. So, oops, I can't go back. Which brings up an interesting point. The biggest calorie counting organization in the world is called Weight Watchers, and they've been having people count calories for more than 50 years. And I found this quote, Kim, I want to share. In 2011, David Kershaw, CEO of Weight Watchers, said in a Time magazine interview, quote, "Calorie counting has become unhelpful. When we have a 100-calorie apple in one hand and a 100-calorie pack of cookies in the other, to view them as being the same makes no sense." End of quote. Now, for Weight Watchers to make a statement like that really puts into perspective the lack of success calorie counting has when it comes to losing weight and keeping it off. That's the key, keeping it off. Calorie counting means, as you said, you got to become a mathematician, which takes the enjoyment out of eating. I believe, Kim, instead of counting calories, you should make your calories count. If you eat the right wholesome foods, you just don't need a calculator.
Oh, that was such a good statement. Make your calories count. That was excellent. And, you know, the Weight Watchers thing, it just brings up a good point, because basically it doesn't say you should be eating the apple instead of the cookies. It just says this is how many points you have left. So it's really, you know, kind of ambiguous about telling you to eat a healthy diet. So I think really just focusing on just nutrient-dense food is the best thing.
Exactly. You know, there's all this talk about eating like our caveman ancestors did. I think we should eat like our great-grandparents did because they never counted calories. If you look at old photos from the early 1900s, nobody was overweight. Today, 70% are overweight. I challenge you to look at a family portrait and find people that aren't overweight. You don't. There's most of the family's overweight. But if you look at these older pictures, you've seen them, Kim, right? The black and white. Nobody was smiling back then. I don't know why. They should be happy they were thin, but nobody smiled in those pictures. But if you look, the great-grandma, the grandma, the grandparent, the parent, the kid, they were thin. And so I think it's because they got back to the good food. You know, it wasn't the chemicals and all this fast food and this junk we're eating. And that's the key. It's not calorie counting. It's what's in the food, the chemicals, the junk. It's not the calorie specific because those numbers change. Who's inventing these numbers? The point system's always different every 10 years.
It is. And then you're like, wait, last year I was supposed to do this and now it's this. And it just confuses people.
It really does. So, all right, so both agreement on that one. So, make your calories count. Anyway, our next headline comes from Harvard School of Medicine. A recent study shows non-stick pans are linked to weight gain. That's right. For those of you that are eating healthy and still not able to lose weight, it could be the pots and pans you're cooking your food on. They're called perfluoroalkali substances, abbreviated PFAs. They've been linked to cancer, high cholesterol, and lowered immune system. The chemicals can be found in non-stick pots and pans, and even some types of food packaging. And, you know, in this new study, they focused on the chemical and the relationship to weight gain, and they studied dieters for 18 months, and those who gained the most weight had the highest levels of PFAs in their system. Kim, what's your opinion on these non-stick pots and pans? They've been around for decades.
Yeah, that's the problem, you know. I think it does make sense. You know, and I talk about this, too, in one of my books, that it's not a healthy choice picking these non-stick pans. And it's interesting about the weight gain correlation, but generally we just thought, you know, if heated to a high temperature, it's going to release toxic chemicals and we're still going to be ingesting them. So I didn't feel like they were healthy to begin with, but it was interesting to find out that it actually, those PFAs can cause a metabolism shift in your body. So it does make sense. And there's definitely so many better alternatives to pots and pans than the Teflon coating that people have been using. And yes, I know they're so convenient because they're so easy to clean, but they're not good for you.
Right. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, and it's like you said, it's in your book. I've discussed it in my new book, Obesogens. That's the name. And, you know, and they're a major contributing factor to the obesity epidemic. And, you know, obesogens, they're chemicals. They wreak havoc on your hormones, especially the two that control appetite called ghrelin and leptin. And these chemicals, they leach into your food and they can make you fat. These PFAs are obesogens. And, Kim, what gets me is this. So many people are focusing on food as being bad for us. They don't realize it's the chemicals inside our food, around our food, and the containers we're storing our food in that possess the biggest problem.
Right, exactly. You know, and there's alternatives. You know, I have some really great ceramic pans. Stainless steel is great. Cast iron. I know my mom has had the same cast iron pan for, you know, since I was a little kid. And once you, you know, spend the money and the time picking good pans, you can use them forever, and they're so much better for you. So it's definitely something that people need to be aware of is that, you know, you don't just have to pay attention to your food, but, yeah, what you store it in and what you cook it in is really important as well.
Yeah, and there's some good alternatives. I like tempered glass. I like to cook on glass because, you know, it's nothing's coming out of that.
That's a good one, right. I don't have any of those yet, but I've heard those are really great.
They're really good. They heat up good. And, you know, I think that the non-stick's easier to clean than everything you just mentioned. But, you know, if you heat up really hot, I think a lot of times it's too cool. What I've read is that it expands. So if you have, like, stainless steel and you cook it at really high temperatures quickly, it's not as messy as if you have it at low temperatures and cook it longer because the food actually goes into the little pores. So that's a little tip that I heard that that's a way so you don't have to clean up so much. Because people say, I love the non-stick. They're easy to clean up. But, you know, I remember as a kid, my mom's non-stick pans looked like it was like sunburn peeling, and I would eat these flakes, and I'm lucky to be alive right now, I think.
Right, exactly. No, it's so true. If you see them after, you know, a certain amount of time, when it starts to kind of come apart, you think, oh, well, I've been ingesting that, because then I've just cooked something on it. You know, bits and pieces of that Teflon are coming off and you're ingesting that as well. So, yeah, that's not, if your pans look like, you know, a disaster waiting to happen, time to ditch them for something better.
Yeah, if they look like they're suffering from sunburn, yeah, don't put aloe vera in there. Just toss them.
You know, right. Yeah. Time to get something new.
It is. You know, I guess we should mention another type of cookware we should stay clear of, the aluminum pots and pans. There's been quite a bit of research linking elevated aluminum levels with neurological disorders like Alzheimer's, ALS, and autism. So, you know, we're talking bad about the one. We want to throw the other one out there because we gave some good alternatives. But aluminum, you know, people don't realize this stuff. They just cook on it and they don't realize, hey, I'm eating healthy, organic, GMO-free, extra virgin olive oil. I mean, they throw it in these pans and look what they're doing. They're actually contaminating this great food.
Right. And you know what? The pans that we talked about too, the glass and the stainless steel and ceramic, they all even cook your food better because it's more, you know, it cooks more evenly. So like the whole pan is more aligned with the temperature. So, you know, you've got it on, you know, medium, the whole pan. It's not like, you know, I remember cooking on these. I used to use Teflon pans way back when too, before I knew. And, you know, one side was always burning. The other side in the back wasn't cooking enough.
Right.
So it's not even, the heat's not evenly distributed either that way.
More with Dr. David Friedman coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Yes, I'm not kidding. This is really cool. Health IQ can save you up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Now, you have to qualify by taking a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes like the cycling IQ or running IQ quiz. And you can also get additional savings by submitting actual data such as race results from a 5K that you've run. And Health IQ doesn't just take this info and pass it on to an insurer. They are with you every step of the way, from interest to application through underwriting to the final policy enforcement. It's pretty cool. Now, by being healthy, you not only live a better life, but now you can also pay less for your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/goodhealth or mention the promo code goodhealth when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Once again, check it out at healthiq.com/goodhealth. And to your good health is brought to you by Molecule.com. Do you have long-standing allergy and or asthma problems? Do you want to breathe easier and reduce your allergy and asthma symptoms? Tired of breathing aids that just don't work? Then let me introduce you to Molecule Air Purifiers. Molecule introduces a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. What does that mean? Molecule erases the full spectrum of indoor air pollutants, including those 1,000 times smaller than what a HEPA filter can catch, so you can breathe easier and experience the life-changing effects of clean air. In fact, one customer even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. So get Molecule and breathe easy. Order now and use code GOODHEALTH for $75 off your first order. Visit Molecule.com and use code GOODHEALTH to save $75. That's Molecule.com, Molecule.com. Now back to Dr. David Friedman into your good health.
Something else we've covered we want to bring up is the bisphenol A, the BPA. That's a synthetic estrogen primarily used to harden plastics that's been shown to increase insulin resistance and also cause weight gain. And these are found in plastic food, you know, containers, beverage containers, canned foods, and bottle tops. So, you know, it's funny how you're seeing all this stuff surrounding food that's been linked to obesity. No wonder we're such a struggling nation, no matter how many gyms we join or diets we go on.
That's right, right. It's like clean out your fridge and clean out your pantry and get your pots and pans in order as well.
Yeah, and you know, one thing with the BPA, stay clear of plastic containers with the numbers 3 or 7 on the bottom. That means it contains BPA, so that's a little tip for you. And as Kim and I have mentioned several times, you know, it's going to be warm weather coming up. Stay away from these bottled water, these plastic bottles in your car. People leave them in their car and they heat up, Kim, and then they go in and they drink this water, throwing these BPAs in their system.
Right, exactly. And that's something, yeah, the weather's about to change in the next few months. And yeah, and I think, you know, I've been guilty of it a few desperate times, but it's not good. You think, oh God, you know, how hot is it in my car? And what did it just do to this bottle? What's it releasing? So there's so many, you know, we talked about a lot of alternatives, but just being aware of, you know, what everything goes in as well. And it's like, if you just think of this as, oh, I'm just going to surround my kitchen, my life, my body, you know, treat it well, you know, pay attention to everything that surrounds your food and your health and your kitchen. And really just, it makes a big, big difference.
It really does. That's a good point. Fantastic. Our next headline is from Fox News. A new warning about e-cigarette vaping published in the Environmental Health Perspectives says toxic levels of metals, including lead, could be leaking from the heating coils of the e-cigarettes. Research from Johns Hopkins School of Public Health found unhealthy levels of metals in the aerosols inhaled by users. Now, this included dangerous levels of arsenic, chromium, manganese, nickel, and lead. Researchers pointed out that chronic inhalation of these metals have been linked to lung, liver, immune, cardiovascular, brain damage, and even cancer. Kim, I remember when these e-cigarette alternatives came out, I was actually happy to see a healthier option that didn't smell up the room and bombard people with the secondhand smoke. But these vapor alternatives are like going from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a matter of time. I know that they're still fairly new and we probably have so much more research to do about them. But, you know, I kind of felt the same way. I thought, wow, you know, this is something really big and it could be amazing. And, you know, there are studies, too, that want to say that vaping isn't as bad as, you know, the study points out. But this is done from, you know, Johns Hopkins University sampled 56 vape devices. And they were new. They were from people that had been vaping for, you know, a decent amount of time. And they were finding these issues with the metal coils. So, you know, sometimes you think, you know, oh, wow, this is a godsend. This is amazing. May not be the case after all. I know that it does help a lot of people quit smoking, but it may not necessarily be the healthiest alternative now that we're finding out.
Yeah, you know, in addition to causing a buildup of these toxic metals, they also come at another risk. They catch on fire. These things explode. I know a man in my town whose e-cigarette ignited and burned his face so bad it caused permanent damage, third-degree burns, and permanent blindness in one eye. And you can YouTube and see some of these videos of these things just catching on fire in people's pockets. And I mean, literally exploding, completely on fire. And so, you know, like I said, there's a lot. I think it's new, as you mentioned. I think there's a lot more to go where, you know, maybe one day they can figure out a way to get this safer. But, you know, that's something to watch out for. And a lot of people don't realize this. The same thing we talked about the last segment. They just eat. They don't think about it. And they're smoking these e-cigarettes thinking, oh, I'm safe. It's healthy, you know, or these ones that don't have the nicotine. That's just for flavor. They're still ingesting this stuff. So that's crazy, though.
But, yeah, that's the good point, too, is that they aren't, you know, people that maybe don't have the nicotine in it, they're kind of doing this for fun, and it's, you know, kind of grabbing users that are younger and younger that would normally, you know, you would see smoking, and it's sort of, okay, this isn't cool, you know, you don't have to do it to be cool, but they are, you know, younger people are grabbing onto these thinking that it's so much fun, and it's not a good thing to be getting hooked on either.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing shops show up every corner in my town. It's like the hottest thing right now. It really is. It's vaping.
It is. It is. There are tons and tons of stores nowadays, and they come basically the size of, you know, a thick credit card nowadays. I the size of it, you know, there's just so many varieties. It's such a big business. It's amazing.
Right. You know, and there's a lot of good natural ways to stop smoking that I've seen work. Hypnosis is actually one. I have several patients, Kim, who completely stopped smoking. They're using this three-video program. It's like where you're watching him do a little hypnosis. His name's Kerry Gaynor, and I believe his program's available on Amazon.com. It's not expensive. It's $19.99, and heck, you spend more than that on 4-pack of cigarettes, so you have nothing to lose to try it. I have seen patients have success. They watch these three videos, and they're done smoking. So, hey, for what it's worth, it's $19.99. What do you got to lose? You're like, I reckon, that's $19.99. I'm not going to pay that. I'm like, what? How many packs of cigarettes do you smoke? Three? Three a day? I'm like, that's a person
that... Oh, you can't even buy 3 packs of cigarettes for that nowadays.
You
they're
can't?
So oh, wow. Expensive, which is good. Yeah, they're probably close to like $8, $9
See?
A pack.
And that's just a sign of someone who doesn't want to quit. If he's not going to try that, you got $20, just give it a shot. But, you know, also there's an herb called Lobelia, and it's been shown to reduce withdrawal symptoms and cravings associated with cutting back on smoking. It contains an alkaloid which actually binds to the same receptor sites in the brain as nicotine. So that's something you get at a health food store. So try some alternatives if you don't want to explode your face and if you don't want to breathe in these metal toxins. There's some healthier
that's
options
right.
that aren't going to get you in the hospital, which is great. So, yeah, so that's good stuff. Hey, we may have time for a question from a listener. This one is Michelle Scarborough from Denver. She asked, "Dear Kim and Dr. Friedman, my family has been beef eaters, but we're ready to cut it out of our diet. Are there any plant-based alternatives we can go with to satisfy our cravings for a nice steak?" Great question, Kim. Right up your alley. What's a great beef alternative for Michelle?
Gosh, you know, I want to be able to, like, spout out all these amazing alternatives, and there are tons and tons of them that I know of, but, like, the thing is that I don't eat those anymore. That was something that, you know, when you transition, I do recommend going to the store, and, you know, Gardein is a really amazing line of foods you can get in the frozen section, follow your heart. I mean, there is just a number of out there. You can go to health food stores, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's probably has them. I relied heavily on them when I did the transition from vegetarian to vegan, and I really wanted that, you know, to satisfy my meat craving. Nowadays, you know what? I just kind of get a huge portobello mushroom, and I make some, you know, vegan gravy, and I just don't eat those anymore. I don't really feel like I need them, but I think there's some really great products out there that can satisfy that. I personally choose to kind of stick to like grains and, you know, veggies and stuff like that rather than the meat
right.
alternatives.
Yeah, and you named my favorite, the portobello mushroom. They've been actually referred to as the vegetarian's filet mignon because they have a similar texture. And you can marinate them like a steak. You can cook them on the grill. They can be used in place of hamburger meat on a bun. Or you can sprinkle a little garlic on them and have them with pasta. But you get that same consistency. But, you know, you bring up a good point is, you know, she mentioned in the question, what can she do now to satisfy her cravings for a nice steak? But you lose those cravings. And, you know, when you get off beef,
yeah.
I know when I did. It's like the thought of going and eating it again is repulsive. You don't have those cravings. In fact, you actually will get sick if you put it in your body after you've been off of it a while because your body goes, yuck, I don't want this. So it's as
exactly.
Kim mentioned, the transition's the issue, right? That's kind of what we need to work on is just that transition when it's part of your diet.
Right. You know, and you're so right. It really does. The cravings go away. And people are so skeptical about that, but it's true. It just, when you just find other things like that, you know, the portobello mushroom, you just find a way to cook and make, you know, foods that you love. And I don't ever feel deprived, and I don't, you know, miss them. My body doesn't crave them anymore. And, you know, you absolutely can find, you know, amazing substitutes if that's, you know, something you want to transition to for a while.
Great. Well, there you go, Michelle. Hopefully you got some good answers there. I think you'll make it. It's probably just going to be a 2-week process, and you'll say, I don't miss it.
Exactly, right?
So just give it time. Well, fantastic. Well, great show. You know, that concludes another edition of Chew on This, and we are your dynamic duo of due diligence. We're here to help you digest all the latest headlines. If you see a headline that you want us to feature, or you have a question for Kim and I, you can send us those at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. If you heard something today that you'd love to share with somebody, send them a link to our podcast, available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Share these segments with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. This information is just too important to keep to yourself. Don't be selfish. Get the word out. You can also subscribe to our Chew on This podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.